This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Every year, a news site Junkie run an annual youth survey asking teens and young adults aged 16 to 34 about what matters most to them. And I think it's a great initiative, and it's important that we listen to what they have to say. What have they been telling us?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Good afternoon, Warren. Thanks for having me.
This survey that's been done, is it a pretty reliable source of information regarding how young people are feeling?
So it's a snapshot. 472 respondents would be considered a very small study of young people. And when it's done by a media outlet, obviously it's skewed towards people who consume that media outlet. That said, it's not 12 people. It's still a significant number of people. And it gives us, I think, just a bit of a snapshot into the kind of issues that often don't make the major political agenda, largely because those people often are not of voting age yet.
But I'm so excited because we'll go through some of the things that they've been saying, that they will be voting age very, very soon, and I can't wait for that. Young Australians, they're keen to reclaim experiences in a post-pandemic world. What does that mean?
Yeah, so this is talking about the group of students or young people who were students for their last years of schooling were spent largely indoors because of the pandemic. Can you forget that time is very different when you're younger and everything seems to take a lot longer than when you get old like us? Time goes in the blink of an eye. But that idea of having significant, literally years of your adolescence gobbled up by the pandemic, there's a feeling of loss. And that's a little different from older people, particularly introverts like you and I, who probably would have stayed indoors anyway. So we really didn't know anything was happening, unlike the youngins who did feel it. And travel is a big component of that, where they felt, for example, those who had planned gap years and didn't get to do it, that there is a kind of pent-up energy for seeing the world. And that's something particularly that they're looking forward to, not having been able to do it because of the pandemic. And also, I suppose now, potential delays because, A, the dollar is in the toilet a little bit, plus the cost of travel is a lot higher than pre-pandemic.
Something that I thought was quite good is influencers are losing their influence.
This is an interesting thing with apparently only 9% of those surveyed said that they trusted information from social influencers. Now, look, the way, though, I think about that, Warren, is think about an advertisement. If you and I were asked about how we felt about TV ads, I think we'd probably say we don't really trust them, but we still go out and buy the products. So I think that there is an element of we don't always need to trust people to buy things from them. And that's a complexity that marketers have always had to deal with. We often say we don't trust people, or we say that we don't trust corporations, or we say that, you know, advertising doesn't affect us, when in practice it clearly does.
Does it mean, though, that they, waking up to social media? You know, we've had it for a little while now, and they're realizing some of its flaws and some of its weaknesses.
Yeah. Look, I think that there is a difference between, let's say, you and I, who had a life pre-internet and then the life after, where there's also a contrast, a constant contrast, by comparing, let's say, social media advertising in the way that influencers do it, that you don't even realize it's an ad, versus the clearly defined commercial break in a television show on network TV. And so we often do that compare and contrast, as opposed to this age group that are being interviewed, who are what are called digital natives. They've never known a time before the internet, and therefore there is an element there of they've always known this space, and for some of them, therefore, this is completely normal, being constantly sold to without knowing it. But that arguably gives them a level of savvy that older people don't have. So, and particularly given that some of this stuff is still a little perceived as a bit new to them as well.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University University of Melbourne about Junkie's survey of young Australians and what matters most to them. What is their most trusted platform of information, according to this?
Yeah, interestingly, Reddit. And I don't know. I just
so it's not
don't...
the ABC.
It isn't or joy. It just it Reddit feels to me like a strange place to get information. I have a student who's doing a PhD looking at Reddit forums, so it's made me a little bit pay a little bit more attention to Reddit than normally I would. And it's funny, whenever I go onto Reddit, it feels like very old school internet, how it used to be in the olden days. Mm. It has a message board feeling. It's none of the slickness that we're used to in modern websites. Equally, most of it, nearly all of it, is user-generated content. And I suppose you could say, well, hang on, the New York Times is user-generated, sure, but there seems to be a level of ordinary peopleness to Reddit as compared to legitimate news outlets. So I must say, and this is obviously me showing my age, do not think of Reddit as a source of news. I see it as a place that you can get opinion. I'm not sure opinion is the same thing as information, though.
Lauren, I was thinking about this today, and when I was a young person, you know, I was really anxious about nuclear war.
Yes.
And I can't imagine what it's like now, I suppose, being a young person and having to worry about climate change and the effect that that has or could have. Are they concerned about it?
Yeah, so it was something like 70-something percent of young people were, 76%, said that they were concerned about climate change. And this actually touches or connects to some bigger research that came out of the United States recently that was talking about political views in young people on a sort of political spectrum idea, and how there seems to be this assumption that all young people are progressive and all old people are conservative, and it's not true. Even recent research with young, similar-aged kids in the United States showed they're still split. They're still progressives and they're still conservatives. But something that united both was climate change. That young people, it was a bigger factor in terms of interest in climate change. Age was the bigger factor as opposed to political views. Whereas for older people, there seems to be you're going to be progressive if you're interested in the climate change debate or climate change topic.
Right.
That's not the same for young people. Young people across the board seem to be interested in this issue, and that certainly pans out in the Junkie study.
Which is great. And they will vote very, very soon, hopefully.
But it also highlights, though, which must be intensely frustrating, that disconnect between something that young people are hugely passionate about and a government who seems to think, I don't have to touch it at the moment because it's too hot a political football and we'll just kick the can down the road for a little bit. And that, on an issue of climate change, is one of the worst things you can do, is pretend that, you know, the next generation can sort it out.
When I was looking at the survey, I was thinking it's so easy for us to walk around and make assumptions and judgments, isn't it? And you might see, you know, young people walking around plastic bags or consuming things, you know, playing with their phones, etc. We judge them. But when it comes to recycling and sustainability, this survey is giving us some good stories.
Yeah, they seem to think that a little over half are interested in wanting to reduce their consumption if you're thinking about things such as fast fashion. And fast fashion's that label we use for the cheap clothes now that you're not expecting to last many rounds in the washing machine, as opposed to investment purchases. Equally, that they're thinking about this in terms of choosing sustainable brands. The issue I've got with that, in the sense that it sounds really good though, but when you look at research, at the end of the day, people buy what they can afford. So I think that sustainability is probably, you know, most certainly a concern for at least half of these respondents. But that idea of, at the end of the day, can I only afford the $7 t-shirt, means I'll only buy the $7 t-shirt. And that's a layer of complexity that I think we have to take into consideration with rising costs of living.
Lauren, finally, one of the most important questions, how are they feeling about their mental health?
Yeah, the mental health, there seems to be quite a lot of anxiety out there. And as someone, me, who deals with young people all the time, I've taught university age this group of kids for, we're getting close to 20 years, and the rise in numbers of students who are registered with our university services for things including physical and mental health has skyrocketed. Mm. And I think there's lots of things that we could, you know, delve into to try and explain this, but the reality is that more and more young people are reporting feeling anxious and a lot less saying that they're carefree or chilled out.
Are they optimistic, though, about their future?
Look, optimistic, yes, in the sense I think 60-65% said that they were, which is good. I had a PhD student a few years ago who actually did a similar study to this, looking at young people and their views, and a lot of them had this view that while they were a little dystopic about the environment as an example, that they believed that the future held solutions to a lot of problems. And I imagine that optimism is part of this. Young people, by and large, tend to be optimistic more so than older people.
Lauren, great to chat with you. Talk to you again next week.
Talk to you then. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you. Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne. If any of that conversation's raised any issues for you, head to joy.org.au/support.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.